The economic future of Ellis County is up to all of us. GrowHay's Executive Director, Doug Williams, stops by to talk a little bit about some of the initiatives going on in the area concerning economic development on this episode of the Post Podcast. The first one I think we want to talk about, and this is topical, this came up last night at the City Commission work session. They're talking about a sales tax initiative as part of their bond issue. You want to, before we get into it, just tell everybody a little bit, if they don't know, what this entails.
Well, obviously, the USD 489 is exploring the possibility of a bond issue to build new schools or improve the schools we have. And there's a couple ways they can pay for that. They can do a bond issue and it can be levied via property tax, or they can do a combination of property tax and also with the city's permission and with the voters' approval, put it out a portion of it on a sales tax. And so they were approaching the city of Hayes about the concept of a half a cent sales tax locally within the city of Hayes or 489 district. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but that would be a half cent sales tax levied for 10 years. And the proceeds from that sales tax would go towards retiring the bond issue, along with property tax and that kind of thing. And they illustrated what the property tax would be on a typical home in Hayes with the sales tax in place and then without the sales tax in place.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they tried to do this on the bond issue about 8 years ago as well, right? And if I remember correctly, the sales tax piece did pass. Yeah, but the bond didn't.
Right. And so it was moot at that point because with this one, the way they explained it last night, and I don't want to steal USD 49's thunder. I know they come on here as well, but
I'm sure we'll be talking about it.
Yeah. The way they explained it last night was that if the sales tax would pass and the bond issue wouldn't, the sales tax would not go into effect. If the bond issue passed and the sales tax did not, the bond issue would still pass and be carried out, and they would build the new schools and make the improvements and that type of thing. So, but the sales tax would be conditioned upon the bond passing.
Sure. Now, I think we've talked about this enough in the past. I think both of us, I think our opinions are pretty clear that generally, whether it be this bond or a different bond or some way or another, we're going to have to fix those facilities. But what I'm curious about is your thoughts on, is a sales tax a good way to do that? Because I think about that trade area, you know, the 1.7 pull factor that we have for the local economy. I wonder, do you think if that impacts that?
I think it is a good way to do it. Does it impact that? Maybe a little bit. But if you look, the thing you have to look at is regionally, how our sales tax compares to other places where people would go and shop. And we're right in line, even with a half a percent bump. We were below our peer communities in Western Kansas and Central Kansas before the county passed their half cent sales tax. That took it from 8.25 to 8.75. This would take it from 8.75 to 9.25, still within the norm of communities our size. So I don't see a lot of harm in that. And it would soften the blow for the property taxpayers of within USD 489. So I think it's a good way to do it. There will be some complaining from remote areas and local areas. You know, I just because it's a sales tax doesn't mean you're not going to pay something. You're just going to pay it in smaller increments and that kind of thing. And so, but that, you know, as we've talked many times before, and we will many times in the future until this is plays itself out, we have kicked the can down the road as far as we can kick it in regard to our schools, and we have to do something. And this is a good way to do it. It makes it more affordable for the typical taxpayer, and it does spread the cost of those schools over some other communities, of which, you know, when we pay our state property taxes here, we pay for other community schools because they get some funding that we don't. So it's not like we're picking on everybody from out of town. We're just kind of leveling the playing field. And I think Ron Wilson pointed that out last night.
Okay. You know, I think about too, you know, part of the discussions that I've heard is, you know, the facilities, we don't have the facilities we need to do, you know, like tournaments and things where we'd bring groups of people in, and those kind of events, you know, they do have a regional impact. I think about people stopping for gas in Russell or Waukini on the way here. Hopefully they spend their money here, but, you know, they're going to some of those folks. Hit those little towns coming into Hayes.
They are. And then the more people we get into the community for all types of events, the better. You know, it potentially fills up hotel rooms. People buy gas, they buy dinner, they maybe go and buy things at Walmart or the mall or wherever they shop, and Home Depot. So activity generates additional dollars, and facilities help that for sure. And then just the general overcrowding situations we have within our schools right now. You know, we're over capacity in a couple of them, and the fact that the way teachers teach and the way kids learn today is much different than the traditional classrooms. And unfortunately, we're still stuck in that traditional classroom mode because of the facilities we have. But yeah, I think all of that would add to economic activity for the area.
Yeah. And we talked about this in the past. I mean, the economic impact to these bonds is huge, both on the front end of the people we can't get into Hayes because of the status of the facilities or the way that they look, and, you know, into the future, that workforce, the house, it all comes together into one thing, and it's all not good if we can't get people here.
Well, exactly. It's a key component of our economy and our community. And, you know, we have to make investments. And as I've said, and will continue to say, in my opinion, the cost of not passing a bond is far greater than the cost of the bond itself. And I think if we look at what the consequences are, if we don't pass a bond and improve our schools, we will suffer accordingly. And it's harder to quantify for sure. But we will suffer, and we will end up in the long run paying more than what we're paying for the actual bond.
Sure. Now, I imagine this is going to be one of the topics of conversation at this town hall that's coming up on Monday, the Imagine Ellis County, town hall.
Right.
Can't think of a better word. But that's going to be a opportunity for folks to come in and talk about issues like this, right?
It is. Imagine Ellis County was formed to try and take a look at Ellis County, what we want to look like in 5, 10, 20, 30 years. And to identify areas where we may have some challenges, and as well as identify our strengths. And we have spent some time talking to business owners and community leaders, organization leaders, as to what their challenges are. And obviously, educational facilities comes up all the time, as does housing, as does childcare and workforce and all of those things. But now we're trying to engage the community members to see if they have any specific thoughts and ideas, basically. And so that's what our town hall meeting is about. We want to share what we have found from the business community and the organizations we have talked to, and then also get the feedback from community members as to what they would like to see, what their vision might be, and put those two together. So this is our first town hall meeting. We plan to try and have them in Victoria and Ellis in the coming months. And then we're putting out a community survey this summer that will try and address some of these issues and get input from the community. And so we're kicking it all off Monday evening from 5:30 to 8 o'clock at the Hilton Garden Inn, and we would like great attendance. We need feedback. So I encourage anybody to attend. We'd like you to register at either our Imagine Ellis County Facebook page. We've got a link, or the Grow Hayes Facebook page, or call us, or what have you. If you don't get registered, that doesn't mean we don't want you to come, because we would like you to come out as well. But we're trying to get a head count because we're going to feed you.
Hey, do you know how many people have signed up already?
I think we're somewhere between 40 and 50, maybe.
That's not bad.
Not bad, but we'd love to get 100 people there. We really would. We want feedback. The more, the better. And you know, no idea is necessarily too small or too crazy. We're trying to keep a blank slate and see what we can come up with. So would encourage anybody that has an interest in Ellis County and our future to come out and offer their input.
Yeah, this is what an opportunity to do so, because I can't, you know, all the places I've been over the last, you know, 25 or so years in my professional life, I don't ever remember a community doing something like this, like asking people to come together and tell us, what do you want our community to be? And I think that's just huge. And I hope that a lot of people take advantage of this and just breaking down the doors come Monday night to share their ideas and thoughts.
Well, we hope so, too. You know, I think it's important that that we get feedback and that people get to give us their thoughts and their ideas, as opposed to, you know, later on saying, well, nobody asked me. Well, we're asking, you know, we want to know. So hope more people, a lot of people can come out, and we look forward to a productive session Monday night.
Very cool.
Now, the other thing we want to talk about, we hit this up a little bit last week. I think it was our main topic of conversation. The housing report that's coming up, you've set a date on that, I believe, of the 15th that's coming out, right?
That's correct. And I don't want to oversell this. It scares me a little bit that we've talked about it too much. But this is our look at the 2021 housing activity and what happened in our local market in 2021. Kind of what's happening so far in 2022, and just comparing it to years past and highlighting the fact that this is a serious challenge that we face with housing. Now, the city will be coming out with a housing study in the next few weeks or month or sometime here soon that the Docking Institute has performed, and that will dig into more of the long-term aspects. It'll look at population trends and that type of thing. And our report will do a little bit of that, but it'll be more time specific to what's going on right now and in the immediate past. Whereas the housing studies typically look at, you've got this many people in your community, you've got this many homes. If you grow at this rate, you need to build X number of homes. And that's all valuable information. But it may not be completely applicable to what's going on right at this instant. And so ours is going to look a little closer at that and try and identify exactly what's happening right now, where our shortfalls are and what challenges that's producing, because it is producing some significant challenges locally.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the number was 14 houses for sale in Ellis County last week?
Well, the other day when I checked, there were 12.
Ugh.
And five of them were in excess of $499,000.
So really seven houses.
So seven houses. And so the problem with like reports that look back, as an example, Wichita State provides the local real estate realtors with data. And it will tell you that at the end of last year, there were 40 homes available. Well, the metric they use is either active or active under contract. So at any one time, there may be 20 to 30 homes in our community under contract waiting to be sold or closed. But that doesn't mean somebody coming in today who's going to go out and look, they want to relocate here and they want to go out and look at homes. They've got basically seven to look at unless they want to spend over $500,000. Now, that doesn't count for sale by owners and some things like that. And there are some of those. This is just multi-list data. But the bottom line is we just don't have any inventory at all. And that's one of the reasons why we're working feverishly out in our Tallgrass edition, you know, with getting some homes built. Because for every home out there that's built, potentially somebody buys that and it frees up, their house becomes available on, comes on the market. And so we have to add inventory that way. And we've got 10 of them under construction out there right now.
There's a pretty long wait list for those already, isn't there?
There's a lot of interest. I'm not sure the builders, I'm not sure they're really wanting to sell them right away when they're under construction, because that creates a whole set of circumstances where it becomes kind of a custom home. And when you're building at that price point, it's very difficult to do a custom home for that, where you start having people that want to change where this wall is or add this or do this differently. And it becomes much more labor intensive for the builder. So they're resisting, I think, to some extent, selling them ahead of time. But there's tremendous interest. I've had them tell me 20, 30, 40 people have expressed interest and want it. So we've got 10 under construction, and I think we'll have another 12 under construction within 30 to 60 days. So I'm hopeful by year end, we could have 25 homes available out there and be working on the next phase, which is the streets and the sewer and the water and that kind of thing for the next phase, which would be another 27 to 35 lots.
Wow. Yeah, that'll help. And we talked a little bit about this last week, too. There's some development up north going on, private development, as yes. well as I think over in Ellis, there's some homes going up in a program over there as well, right?
Well, we're working on some of those, but there are Ellis Estates. I believe that's 32 or 40 units that are going up as an addition to that development, and we're still working on our concept for a retiree community north of the hospital on that large tract of ground at that location. And we feel like that will serve a very critical demographic, a 55 and older community. So we have a number of, we have an aging population. If we don't cater to them with housing solutions for their needs, they're going to go someplace else. And so we want to make sure that we retain those people as well as be attractive to people that are looking to relocate from rural communities or urban areas, that we've got good solutions in housing. It really does all start with housing. If you don't have that, you can't go on to the next step. You can't retain or recruit a workforce. You've got to have housing. And so that's why we spend so much time working on it.
Okay. Doug, we've got under a couple minutes left, but I know you've got an article coming out, or an article that you're going to send to a Hayes Post anyway. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about that, and it's certainly nothing earth-shattering, but it goes to this concept of what we need to be doing here and growth. And I hear a lot of people come to me. I have friends and that kind of thing. We like Hayes just the way it is. And the title of the article is We Have to Grow to Stay the Same. And my point in the article is simply, our trade area is shrinking, and we're growing at a dismal pace in Hayes, you know, 0.17% per year the last from 2010 to 2020. We're not keeping pace currently with even what we're losing in our trade area. So as a community, we have to be really focused on growing our community at a minimum faster than we're losing people in the outlying areas. Now, some of those people are moving here and that kind of thing, and that's all fine, but we need to be cognizant that, you know, nothing ever stays the same. But in this particular case, if we want to attract new retail and we want to keep the retail we have and we want to keep a lot of the things that we currently have, we have no choice but to grow and to pick up the pace a little bit on what we have done in the last 10 years. And so we're real focused on that, and that's another reason why housing is so important.